Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
All right, folks, welcome to another Monday night installment here at Your Remedies in the Law. My name is Martin Michelson. I'll be your host for this evening's conference call brought to you by Your Remedies in the Law, which is in direct affiliation with Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer. Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. You are on this call because of the situation in your life where you require legal advice. Very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone looking for legal advice has no place or business here on any of these calls. Nobody here at Your Remedies in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. If you require legal advice, our advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes, just folks saying what they might do where they're similarly situated. You might get some education out of it. You might get some entertainment out of it. Definitely some ideas. But you're just really going to get folks' opinions about what they might do, however thoughtful and experienced as these opinions be. At the end of the day, they are just that, just people's opinions. And it is always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. If I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremediesinthelaw.com. So look up in the upper right-hand corner, see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that. You have a separate page come up with just two items on it. But these two items are of much importance, especially if this is all new to you. First and most importantly on the left is the jurisdictionary course. That is your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure, better known to some as American jurisprudence or AMJUR. The rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules means to have at least a basic concept of what's going on and virtually any court scenario that you might find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process, mostly known for its national 85% win rate in most traffic cases throughout the country. At least that's usually what it's most popularly purchased for, but that's not really why it's up here. The reason why it's up here is once you've gone through the jurisdictionary course a couple times and then you get into the common law default, you'll see very quickly that it acts as a real-life homework assignment. A lot of the core pillars that you learned about in jurisdictionary are now acting out in a real-life scenario with the common law default. That coupled with such a high win rate, and usually traffic scenarios are a less strenuous of a scenario to be in court. Folks find it more palatable to have that be their first time. Both of these items are very affordably priced. Jurisdictionary at $250, the common law default at $150. So we encourage you to pick those up at your earliest convenience. All right, if we back out of that, now we're back at the home page of Your Remedy. You see there the login or register. That reminds us to remind you to set yourself up with an online account at Your Remedy at your earliest convenience as well. That is also very affordably priced, just $10 a month. You can set that automatic through your credit card or PayPal, whatever you like. That gives you full access to all of the features at Your Remedy. A lot of wonderful educational features there, a lot of different topics. Of course, you get full access to all the calls, phone number, and PIN. And you have unlimited access for questions and answers, virtually unlimited, I should say, to the different information providers, whatever topic they're speaking about that night. If this is not an option, though, for you to get, you do have Freedoms Radio, www.freedomsradio.com. That is 100% free to use. Every call is broadcasted for free every evening out on Freedoms Radio. There's even a little question bar where you can type in a question or comment. We read those out over the air. And so you do get some limited interaction with the information provider, not near as much as you would be by having a membership, but at least you don't have to miss a call again if you don't wish. All right, on to the next subject. Most of you have probably noticed that map of the United States that we have on virtually every website that we have. But that is Grass Fire Communications, formerly known as Statewide Communications. Also 100% free to use. That is a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on a very strict, pre-decided topics of discussion. The setup is very easy to use. You've got a little wizard that walks you through. Put your name in here, click next, that sort of thing. Eventually, it'll ask you to choose from a long list of topics what your interests are. Of course, you can choose multiple topics if you like. These topics range anything from tonight's topic of status change to home foreclosure remedies, IRS matters, health rights, veterans' rights, traffic, on and on. If you can think of it, you'll find it there in that list. And then lastly, it's going to choose, ask you to choose a radius, whether that be citywide or countywide, statewide, or some variation. And when it's all said and done, it puts it all together, much how a lot of folks would describe as a social media, but nothing like social media, very custom, very private, but how a lot of folks would describe that as a social media. The idea is that you sit down there one day and you say, well, this happened to me today. Maybe the first few people jump on there and say, well, I don't think they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. Well, those might be truthful statements, but I don't know how much that's going to help you in your educational process. Maybe the next person jumps on there and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do if I was similarly situated. I'd go find my local county courthouse and go to the law library. By the way, if you didn't know, every county's got a courthouse. Every courthouse has a law library for you to tax there. And I'd look up those terms. I'll give you a lot better an idea of what you're going to be looking at. Also, I'd watch this YouTube video. Well, you see, now we're starting to get somewhere. Maybe the next person comes on after that and says, well, that last person, that was a great idea. I'd definitely do that. Also, I'd go check out this website. They've got these educational processes. Well, you see where I'm going with this. The idea is to put the power of communication, the power of education, back in the hands of the common man. Once you've done so and you've learned how to do your own due diligence and you learn how to educate yourself on these various matters, and now you're handling your own affairs, your own business. Well, there's nothing illegal or unlawful about that. That's all we're trying to get folks to do here with Grasp Our Communications is just simply educate themselves and then start talking again. All right, also here on basically every page that we have, you've probably noticed that little blue box that pops up now. Whenever you go to your remedy, ask to go to your remedy, it stops you and asks if you want to continue on to your remedy, if you want to stop at Americans Restoring America and check that out. The reason that we've done this is very simple. We're trying to get folks to explore. Too often we hear, I wish I'd known about this or wish I'd heard about that. And so we put this up there so folks will see all that's available there. Your remedy has gone quite large over the last years. We've got a lot of different topics covered now, a lot of different teachers, information providers on a myriad of different topics. And then everything that is encompassed at Your Remedies in the Law, Your Remedy is just one of a dozen and a half websites that all together make up Americans Restoring America. So chances are there's probably a lot there that you have missed or that you don't know exists. And so that's what we're doing there with that box, just to encourage you at your earliest convenience to stop for a moment and see what else is available there under the umbrella of ARA. All right, winding down here, this next portion is called Your Caveat Emptor or Your Buyer Beware. For all of the folks at Your Remedy is in the Law, when you come aboard with an information provider, with a teacher, you're doing just that. You're coming aboard directly with that information provider. These information providers pay for advertising at Your Remedy. This would be a cost to that information provider along with any other cost associated with their particular educational process. That brings us to a bigger point. What is the credit policy or the refund policy like at Your Remedy? Well, there is none. If there was going to be a conversation like that, that would be a strict and private matter between you and your information provider. Even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You are expected to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right, lastly, I want to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these conference calls are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always keep it civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it. All right, that is my ramble for this evening, folks. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to turn the call over at this time to Mr. Edward, and he will introduce our speaker, DW, for this evening.
Excellent, Martin. Thank you so very much. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
All right, good. This evening, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a different bend on preparing you for GW tonight. In the first place, outside of a secular day of the week, at sundown tonight, which was for my venue, was about 2 hours, hour and a half ago, something like that. It began the, second most or the most set apart day of the entire year. In the scriptures, it's known as Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the day that we are at one-ment with the Almighty One. And this will last until sundown tomorrow night. In thinking of that, I thought it would be good tonight to give you a memorandum of law on ecclesiastical societies, scriptural societies, as a distinct and sovereign jurisdiction unto itself. Of course, you see that work done with Justice Beshear with his charitable religious trusts, the corporation soul, as two instruments that are under ecclesiastical jurisdiction as opposed to civil. So with that having been said, let me read to you the following, which is an affidavit of a gentleman named Kelly Russell many years ago. And I was blessed to have a copy of it, and I want to share it with you tonight. So it says, the good Kelly Russell, sui juris, a private man with status, not character, as to a person, and with intent, not a juristic person. And then he quotes Broome's Maxims of Law, which says, I'll skip the Latin part and just go to the English. Every person is a man, but not every man is a person. And that was one term. And the other is, man is a term of nature. Person is a term of civil law. Not a corporate being, as a scholar of American and church histories cites the historical record and experience of the inaugural president of the United States of America, who presided over the Continental Congress to protect and preserve the unalienable rights of one to embrace and exercise, unencumbered, the tenets of the Christian covenant, law, and proper federal protocol of our Holy Writ, the Holy Writ being the scriptures of the Bible, to which petitioner subscribes as a consecrated Christian class citizen of the kingdom of heaven, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, a class of citizen in which President George Washington was found and served in the exemplary manner as a lay leader and church warden to preserve morality in the community and society. Ecclesiastical jurisdiction was formed and formally recognized in 321 A.D. and constitutionalized in 331 A.D. Ecclesiastical societies are private, protected, and sovereign states by the doctrine of declaratory theory, as in America's own Declaration of Independence. Regardless of recognition, we saints have more than a purpose. We have a destiny, which implies a destination. While purpose is temporal, destiny is eternal. Jude chapter 14, Jude chapter 15. The Almighty One will, His will is already achieved in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. It's a man's duty to effect the same, quote, on earth as it is in heaven, end quote. During creation week, creation was at rest. It was perfect because creation's order was aligned with the Creator's orders. Further, paradise was created in an enemy-occupied territory as earth is Satan's domain since his rebellion. Yahushua, and it's saying here Jesus, our Prince of Peace, instructs the saints to come out from secular jurisdictions and to be separate, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. The root of our responsibility is response to the covenant. The Almighty One has set our government, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. We are in the Messiah, His Messiah, Acts chapter 4, verse 26, the Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, and the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, and we are partakers of this divinity. King David exclaimed in the record of the Holy Writ at Psalm 24 that from the foundation of the seas to the mountaintops, the earth is Yahuwah's and everything in it. All the people belonging to him. It's not to any government created by man. In deference to the Almighty One's orders, such as peonage, in fact, this psalm in language of government, including heaven's armies. Nations that disregard our Creator's orders do so at their own peril, deceive themselves, and are directed toward failure by the Almighty One. Even their pagan armies cannot save nations. Hope is our hope, help, and shield. Profane nations, despite sacred mandates that conduct affairs as secular jurisdictions, do not have the authority to exercise jurisdiction over a sacred venue. We operate under the Most High Almighty, Psalm chapter 91, verse 1. We operate under these laws by his covenant, natural law, and not the world's operation of the Babylonian Hammurabi Code or Admiralty Law. Therefore, it is a trespass and a tort on the Almighty One's laws and his subjects when Christians are compelled to comply with private, substantive, statutory law repugnant to the tenets of our Holy Writ and conscience in violation of the restraints upon the United States pursuant to the Free Exercise Clause. The head of our state is the King of Kings, to whom is our allegiance and is a covenantal obligation. He is our sovereign, not any admiral. We occupy the same soil as U.S. citizens, as non-resident alien men and women, citizens of heaven, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Christians are, as defined, born out of the jurisdiction of the United States and not naturalized under the Constitution and laws as the 14th Amendment subjects. As to the concept of consent of the governed, ecclesiastical societies must consent to be governed other than self-governed under the covenant of the Most High Almighty One. Government society and sovereignty over the people is a presumption and a fiction of which, when once repudiated, must therefore and thereafter be proved to exist. If one cannot be proved to be subject to the jurisdiction of any constitution or any other social compact or contract, he also cannot be proved to be subject to the jurisdiction of any branch of government created thereunder. Should the judge not have the subject matter jurisdiction, then the law states that the judge has not only violated the law, but is also a trespasser of the law. Quote, if the magistrate has not such jurisdiction, then he and those who advise and act with him or execute his process are trespassers. As president, thus presider of the covenant and of the organic United States of America, George Washington, who was a devout lay leader in his ecclesiastical society, addressed this issue before the General Assembly representing the United Baptists of Virginia, where he said, and I quote, if I could have entertained the slightest apprehension that the Constitution framed by the convention, where I had the honor to preside, might possibly endanger the rights of any ecclesiastical society, certainly I would never have put my signature to it, end quote. The Organic Constitution, as America's charter, is a deliberate restraining order on the federal government. It regulates its service agency with limited authority granted by the sovereign republic states while retaining their respective sovereignty. Just as the republic states are service agencies to the sovereign, we the people, we are all sovereignty resides in the people. Further restraint emphasizing the point is the 10 limiting articles of amendments attached thereto as the Bill of Rights all limit government not the people, thanks to George Mason and the Reverend Patrick Henry as the primary anti-federalists who insisted on these additional restraints. As an elected servant of our wonderful Prince of Peace, Yahushua, whom you call Jesus, pursuant to his mission of peace, and a foreign minister occupying an office as head of state of an ecclesiastical society of non-denominational Christian assemblies of peaceful, non-belligerent, foreign-neutral men and women, this writer is an active assemblyman of his Republic State National Ecclesiastical Society, thus a non-corporate being without, outside of, rather, this state, District of Columbia Territory. The corporate state of South Carolina has the DUNS number, Dun & Bradstreet, of 06-700-6072, period. Pontius Pilate did not have jurisdiction over Yahushua. I will be saying Yahushua where it says Jesus, because that's, I believe, his name. Pilate brought this to the attention of Yahushua's sacred society that had conducted, and albeit a mock trial. Further, he referred the matter upline to his secular jurisdiction, though it was remanded back to Pilate. Finally, he extended an offer of grace to avoid executing Yahushua. When all of these efforts failed, he turned the matter back over to the appropriate venue, which had proper jurisdiction, and then publicly washed his hands of the matter, for, quote, every jurisdiction has its bounds, end quote, quoting Broome's Maxims. Approximately 300 years ago, Puritan and Separatist Pilgrim ecclesiastical societies chartered as decentralized local assembly venues, self-governed by the covenant of our scriptures, the Holy Writ, established themselves on American shores after having signed the Mayflower Compact, claiming our land for Yahushua and the furtherance of the good news, the gospel. Upon giving up on England's inversion of scriptural federal protocols, these ecclesiastical societies had good reason, as a tenet of their Christian faith, to sail specifically to our shores. Over 200 years prior, the German monk Martin Waldsmuller began marking maps of our land. He titled them Amerik, which is a derivation of the German word Himmelreich, which means, in German or English, Kingdom of Heaven. Our land had been known for centuries as the Kingdom of Heaven on earth, and was sealed with charters in hand with the intent to invoke the Christian covenant of our Holy Writ. The government of the Almighty One, referenced in a moment ago as Psalm 24, is headed by our wonderful Prince of Peace, his Son, the child given to us, spoken in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, and shouldered by those of his body given authority to do so by the elect. It's described, ordained, mandated, and to the prophet Moshe, or Moses, by his father-in-law, Yithro, as Moses led the Almighty One's covenant people for its nationhood. The 10 principles that serve as the foundation of society were personally written in stone by the finger of the Almighty One. The mandate taught to Moshe was taught by Moshe as Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 9. In the Book of the Covenant, for emphasis. It is a republican in form and a style of government with inherent common law courts, judges, and assembly venues. Further, the only record of a tripartite character in man's history is recorded by the prophet Isaiah at chapter 33, verse 22. Judicial, legislative, and executive branches all sourced in the Father of creation. The Founding Fathers recognized our dependence on the tripartite character of the Almighty One as they declared independence from a tyrannical sovereign who failed to live up to his divine duty. The Declaration of Independence grieved the breaches of King George against the goodness of the Almighty One as the supreme judge, which is the judicial branch, the maker, which is the legislative branch, and the divine providence, which is the executive branch. This truth was embedded in the Constitution as separate powers, a sophisticated superstructure among men to avoid consolidation of power, a likely corrupting element. The Declaration of Independence, a charter document, expresses the founding intent of the body politic of the Continental Congress. Approximately 243 years ago, after having served as church warden to ensure a moral society, George Washington presided over constitutionalizing this Christian covenant for perpetuity and went on record May 10th, 1789, as having established America, the kingdom of heaven on earth, as the world's asylum for the religiously and politically persecuted. The Apostle Paul addressed the distinct bounds of the secular and the sacred jurisdictions at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 through 6. It says, quote, "Why should I be judging others, outsiders? Is it not your business to judge those within? How can any one of you with a case against another bring it to an unjust for judgment instead of to the set apart ones? Do you not know that we will judge angels? Then why not everyday matters? If therefore you have courts for everyday matters, do you seat as judges people of no standing in the church? I say this to shame you." Christian colonialist George Mason, a delegate and scribe to the Continental Congress, he said all acts of legislature apparently contrary to natural right and just are in our laws and must be in the nature of things considered as void. The laws of nature are the laws of the Almighty One, whose authority can be superseded by no power on earth. A legislature must not obstruct our obedience to Him, from whose punishments they cannot protect us. All human constitutions which contradict the Almighty One's laws, we are in conscious bound to disobey, such as have been the adjudication of our courts of justice, end quote. I have just a moment to and I'll finish here. Persona is specific to secular Roman civil law, not the Almighty One's law to which the Apostle Paul bound himself. The Constitution of the United States of America at Article 1, Section 2 references slaves as persons. For believers of the tenet of the Christian faith to forego their law of two masters, articulated by our wonderful Prince of Peace, by acquiescing to an inferior 14th Amendment, Sections 3 and 4, subject responsible for a contrived private corporate debt of the United States, is to commit spiritual treason, to which one cannot be compelled to commit. The word persona, which is person, did not have the meaning in Roman civil law as did homo, meaning man created by the Almighty One. It is in particular reference to artificial beings, persons created by the legislature. To compel Christians to operate as a resident of the United States, as a person under administrative law, a collusion of separation of powers, is a violation of the United States Commune's 13th Amendment restraint, which is the slavery, and as an affront to the character of the Almighty One, respectively. The clear opinion of one Supreme Court said, quote, "Violations of the Free Exercise Clause in the 1st through the 14th Amendments to said Constitution, which effectively penalize the free exercise of cardinal principles of one's religious faith and constitutional liberties, is squarely addressed by the Supreme Court upon overturning the Supreme Court of South Carolina. The door of the Free Exercise Clause stands tightly closed against any government regulations of religious beliefs as such. Governments may neither compel affirmation of a repugnant belief nor penalize or discriminate against individuals or groups because they hold religious views abhorrent to the authorities. The government has an obligation of neutrality and equal protection. Many people hold beliefs alien to the majority of our society, beliefs that are protected by the First Amendment, but which could easily be trod upon under the guise of, quote, police or health regulations reflecting the majority of the views. Justice Douglas concurred when he said, I am convinced that no liberty is more essential to the vitality of the free society which our Constitution guarantees by the Free Exercise Clause, explicit in the First Amendment and embedded in the 14th. I think our Constitution commands the positive protections by government of religious freedom, not only for the minority, however small, not only for the majority, however large, but for each of us. Believers' souls are saved based upon the authority of the Almighty One's Word, and therefore we embrace the same authoritative power for the above. We must not squander the gift of liberty. May we all be found held in covenant by the good news of pardon and peace. This concludes this affidavit written again by this gentleman, Kelly Russell. And I share this with you tonight again, as I said, for those joining us later, because this is why we are where we are today, doing what we're doing. We are separate creatures. We've come out of them, you know, come out of it, my people. So without further ado, it's my pleasure now to turn this call over to GW to share with us how you can come out of her, if you would, from the secular government into your own standing as sui juris, which is the term of in your own right before the Almighty One. Go ahead, GW.
Hey there, Michael. All right.
Hey there.
All right, so we are over in, taking a little time, be over in California right now, enjoying a little bit of the good weather and a number of other things over here. So wanted to share something before we get to the real subject today, which is correcting your status with the U.S. State Department. But had one of my guys that I was on with here recently. Does a number of things as far as he's corrected his status. He's he traveled extensively through airports and internationally, and had some excellent, of course, experiences with that once he changed and corrected his status. And one of the things that he's done is had several backup plans. There's a number of soul trotters out there that are not, you know, bound to any one place and like to be, have plenty of options out there. One of the processes in getting those options done, if you're planning on moving and getting any kind of second passports and residency in other places that you feel thank you for research and whatnot would be, would better afford a better lifestyle or whatever. You have to, of course, in applying in a foreign country for status, residency, and things like that, you have to have an FBI background check, okay? All these different countries and nations require it, U.S. citizens or Americans or nationals, whatever, to have an FBI background check done. And so that's one of the things you have to submit yourself and with the FBI directly, or you have to use a service which is called a channeling service, which is kind of like where you're trying to get your tag for your car instead of driving to the DMV, one of the services that actually performs registering of the plates and the tags and things like that, so you don't have to stand in long lines at the government facilities. They're a contractor. It's kind of similar to that in a sense. And so Derek was going through that process with getting his status for, I think it was Paraguay. I think that's the one. Anyway, he had to have the background check, and he was going through the process of it, and he reached out to me and said, "W, I'm kind of stuck here because I'm going through this service and I can't go forward because all they have for me is checking, you know, I'm a U.S. citizen or permanent resident." And says, "If you don't check either one of those or both of those, the service doesn't let you go any further." So I said, "Well, so this on a, you know, we've done a number of things with driver's license here recently where the questions was asked, how do I get my corrective status recognized with my driver's license and things like that. We've had a number of people get pretty good feedback and cooperation with asking the right questions. So I said, "Listen, you need to call the FBI directly. Get on their page, call the FBI, and interface with them," which he just took a big gulp, and he didn't really want to do that. He said, "Okay." I said, "Well, you know, you're the head of the spear here, so, you know, you're testing out the different things. So, you know, hey, just go ahead and do it. I don't think you have anything to lose." And so he did it, and he got on the phone with the FBI, and the guy that's leading him through, he said, "Listen, I'm going through this process, and I've corrected my status from being a U.S. citizen to a national, an American national," and he says, "I don't want to purge." I told him, you know, ask him the question, "I don't want to perjure myself on your forms and incorrectly stating something that I'm not. And so what's the workaround for this?" And so he did that, and the guy that he was on the phone with was stammering and stuttering for quite some time, saying, "What? You did what?" And he finally said, "Hold on a second," and says, "I'm going to check with my superiors. Got to call them up." And so he did. He got off the phone with his superiors and came back online and said, "Yeah, okay, we understand correcting your status. We understand what that means. So what we would advise you to do is not use the channeling service. Use our website directly. And you don't really have to be too concerned with checking the box that says U.S. citizen, because when we pull up your background and we find out your corrected status, he says it's referenced and you won't have any problem with being, you know, perjuring yourself or anything." And so he got the answer he was looking for and traveled on, you know, got through the whole process. So there, you know, what's interesting in that is that at first the gentleman helping him with the FBI was unaware of anything like this and was kind of like, what are you talking about? And then as soon as he talked to his superior, he's like, "Oh, yeah, they recognize it, and they know what it is, and here's what you need to do." So, you know, I just want to encourage people out there that are going through this process to you know, reach out to us if there's, you know, ever a question that you're dealing in some kind of arena, because it's usually what happens is it's the way that you state the question to the representative that's helping you in such a way that they, you know, kind of, I don't want to say traps them, but it puts them in kind of a little bit of a bind to, be forthcoming with the information. And so you do it in a polite way, but you're being assertive. And so that's one of the things that I just wanted to talk about on this program today. And with that said, I'll basically defer to what we're doing here is helping people to correct their status and standing. We do it through affidavits, and we do it through one of the highest agencies in the land. That's the one that you really want to do it with, because of the fact that the U.S. State Department is the number one agency that has anything to do with recognition of citizenship status. They're the ones, of course, that issue the passports, passport cards, State Department does a whole lot more than just that. But that's one of the main things that they do so that you can travel freely. And what we're trying to accomplish, of course, is as patriots and those that study and follow the Constitution and want to be in a more free position, we want to have our status recognized in such a way that sets us apart a little bit from the rest of the crowd that's being herded and like good little slaves. And so that's the reason that we do it with the State Department. It's really a foundational process to get done because there's many other things that you can do and there's many other processes to be involved with to further your education and try to get unhinged, of course, from certain aspects of the of you know American life that we so value. And so, with that said, it's you know we pretty much have been helping people to get this done through a process of, like I said, it's through an application for a brand new passport. Brand new passport card has to be filled out correctly. It has to be done with in a certain way. And so that's what we're helping people to accomplish. And that's what mostly this call is about. And if there is anyone that is on the line that needs to ask questions, you know, especially the newbies, we would be happy to take your questions. And there's a process for that. And I'll turn the call over here to Martin at this time, if he's there. Be able to handle those questions and get people to raise their hands properly and get in line to ask questions.
All that fun jazz.
All right. Now is our time for questions and answers, folks. Star 2 on your keypad if you have a question. That's if you're on the call. You put in a phone number and a pen. Press star 2 at this time to raise your hand, and we will unmute you one at a time and keep ourselves orderly in that way. And then a few folks listening on the Freedoms Radio side, type your questions in the question bar at this time. And, of course, don't forget to click submit. We won't see it if it pops up there. If it won't pop up, if you don't click the submit button there. And we'll give that just a moment to populate here. And, of course, generally these Monday night calls are usually one of the shorter calls during the week. So we do encourage you to get those questions in early. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. All right, don't everybody jump at once now. I know we've got at least a couple questions. There we go. All right, in Florida, we've got, first we've got Ron. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah. Yes. BJ, is there any information available on the private bank at this time? Are they still making progress?
Oh, you're asking about the project that's involved in Nevada, right?
Yes, I am.
Is it okay? There's not a whole lot of progress that has been made so far as it's kind of fallen on its face. I'm still involved with it, but kind of at this point, I'm just wondering what the heck they're doing and why they've had so many holdups and misfortune so far with all the different players that have come forward to purchase the bank charters, get it open. Just seems like it's been just a host of different
either nefarious players or people that just have been wishing they had the money and never been able to not just prove up the funds but get them transferred. So there's really no progress with that so far. So sorry for bad news, but that's just the way it is.
Better news than bad news, but we'll deal with it. Hopefully this thing will come to fruition, and I was hoping to be able to put my money in that bank, but apparently it's not available, so I'll have to make other arrangements.
Okay. Yeah, the other association that I would say that I would look into, if I was in a position to be able to want to be in some place that you might be a little more freer with, you know, let's see, not being targeted for your political or your religious beliefs, is a bank that's called Old Glory Bank. That's Old, O-L-D, and then like the flag, Old Glory. Okay? OldGloryBank.com. They are taking people for personal accounts right now, and it's all pretty much on the web. You can get a personal account put together without traveling. And this bank is in Oklahoma. I've had a lot of people reach out and have good conversations with people that have actually done it so far. But they're supposed to be at a point of opening up LLCs and trust accounts. They're supposed to be doing it now, supposedly. There are people that are waiting in line that are on the schedule to get that done that I'm keeping tabs on right now, because I guess there's a kind of a first come, first serve to get with, you know, to get with you. But if you go to that website, oldglorybank.com, it's kind of inspiring. It's another bank that's a ancient charter, banking charter, and the bank is located in Oklahoma, real close to Oklahoma City. So that might be another workaround for something in the interim period. Ron?
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that information. I'll look into it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'd like to add for all the other listeners on the call, two things. One is that I would immediately first investigate if any financial institution that I am talking to has any monies tied up in the derivatives market. That would be first, because there's a derivatives bubble out there that when it blows, it's going to suck everything that's in those banks into that bubble. The second thing is to share with you that your credit unions are considered very, very safe. And also you can achieve a lot of basic banking through, is it Edward Jones? Those are the other ones. Right now we're looking at Old Glory Bank, trying to get them to communicate with us with regards to the trusts that JW just spoke about. Because if we can get them to open up trusts, we're going to go with them for the trust for right now. But for large amounts, I'll be asking Old Glory Bank about their derivative involvements. Back to you, JW.
Yeah, that's in speaking to the person that I spoke with, and he wasn't the head or anything like that, and this was months ago. I asked him the question about the derivatives, and he said absolutely not. So, but you know, you should find out too from whoever you're dealing with, you should probably be able to ask that question. Hopefully they can state that on an email or whatnot, you know, if they have any kind of derivative, what do they call that? Coverage, what do they call it? I forget the actual term for it. But
well,
yeah,
their
you're
investments
right.
in their investments in the derivative market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Derivative exposure is the proper word. Yeah. Yep.
Martin?
Yes, All right.
Yeah, next up.
All right, next up we've got Ed in Pennsylvania. Get you unmuted there. All right, go ahead, Ed.
Hi. First of all, or I'll forget it. Michael, can you send me, was that an affidavit you were reading from at the beginning of the call there with from Kelly
yes.
or something like that? Or
yes.
Can you send that to me?
Send me an email requesting. That's that
okay.
way I can just hit reply and pop it to you.
Okay. I got into a kind of a fiery discussion, email discussion today over some of the same issues, and guy is swearing at me thinking I'm autonomous because laws don't apply to me. Like, he's a Christian guy, and I use all kinds of analogies to try to get the point across, so he just, I don't know, what can I say? And that affidavit listed a bunch of stuff in it that would be real useful to perhaps open him up with a little bit. Anyways, the question I have, well, yeah, the other thing is, in terms of credit unions and banking, it's been my understanding for 25 years, when I was a member of a couple of credit unions, that the credit unions they all operate under the authority of a bank, and the credit union itself holds its deposits in a bank at somewhere, like the ones around Pittsburgh. It might have used to have been like Mellon Bank or Pittsburgh National Bank, Dollar Savings Bank. The credit unions would have had their accounts there, and then your personal account would have been with the credit union. But the credit union invests your money with a bank. I don't know whether they're actually separate from the federal banking system or not. Now, the other thing is, my driver's license finally expired, and I don't have too much of a need to drive, but it seems like I have more of a need for a picture ID than anything else. I need to get that passport, and I think I overheard you say, GW, that it's one of the things that's out there that's basic. It's part of the basic process here, and I don't have it. And I need to get going on that. And I don't know about. I can take it up with John a little bit if John and I have availability at the same time. But I don't know about not going with a Social Security number. I've kind of lost sight of the reasons for that because I collect Social Security for as long as it's going to be here, whatever. I mean, if the whole U.S. goes bankrupt, now they're talking about $2,500 another big credit to all the Social Security holders. if they make under $80,000 a year. And they want to give so much money away, it's like this place ain't going to recover. That's my basic feeling. And but I just I don't feel like telling something that could be construed as a falsehood when I'm under, when the law that I am, I don't know that I want to say under the law that I have agreed to is ecclesiastical. I don't want someone from the FBI or the State Department or wherever saying, aha, look at this. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any advice on where to flow to on that?
Well, yeah. You know, with a scenario where somebody is very diehard against using their Social Security number for acquiring a passport, they're through John, okay,
yeah,
helping people to move through that process. That's one of the only ways that I know of to do it and do it right. And of course it has to be coordinated with with John.
Yeah, I understand.
So yeah. And then at the same time, I understand the dilemma, the conundrum with let's say you procured it without a Social Security number, but now you're receiving the benefits, you know, from the contract that you signed into and that you use with that number. I would say that conversation, Ed, would be really, really best served on a private call.
Okay.
With yep, addressing those issues.
I hear you.
Not with just me, but with coordinated through Michael and with John, Brother John on the line also. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I can do that. Yeah, I
okay.
I still got too much money from the way my brother insisted I get money, the rest of my money from him. That's all. There's a bunch of it still in a bank. I can't get it out fast enough.
Okay. Huh.
I'm not used to. I have spent so much money on silver. I got a drawer here that won't pull open now. Not to, yeah. It's too heavy.
Yeah.
The fastest way I can get it out. And neither is it safe.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well.
Other than my 120-pound dog that sleeps right below it.
Well, I would say it's pretty doggone safe. Unless
too, actually. But
I like that one. That's that's pretty good. Yeah. Well, hopefully you've been acquiring it and holding on to it for a long time.
Not been a long time, no. We just got all of this just started when the IRS quit coming after me. when they they didn't ever sign off on the paperwork. It was implicit on the notice of lien that their ability to come after me anymore ended on October of, well, this October will be 2 years.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Then I had to talk my brother into getting it to me. he didn't want to give it to me. Just unbelievable.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I've been well delayed on this, but my position is, unless we have a U.S. government and state government, Pennsylvania for mine, I don't see anything anywhere coming from any of those governments or their counties or their municipalities that gives me a great desire to owe allegiance to them. Besides which, you can't owe allegiance to more than one anyways.
Okay. All right.
That's been my position since I first heard you. This is my way out. But I can't seem to get out.
Well, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Press star 2 on your keypad. Otherwise, we're going to call it a night. Let me check Freedom's Radio real quickly. Martin, you want to go ahead and share with us?
Okay. Yep. Join us again, tomorrow night, then same time, same place. We having our normal Tuesday night call. Are we going to have our normal Tuesday night call with Brother John on litigation? Will Brother John be joining us as normal, Mr. Edwards?
That's the plan at this time. Today he was very sick with a flu. The doctors, of course, will say, you got COVID, but, anyways, we should have him tomorrow night. Yes, he should feel better enough for that.
All right. Well, and then so we'll have that. That's litigation, tip of the spear. And then Wednesday we're back with Air Slevin. With LLCs, we'll be continuing on this vein that we're in. And then Thursday will be our normal recorded call on home foreclosures. And so if there's nothing else, you got anything else for us, GW?
No, that's it. Everybody have evening.
Yes, have a good evening, everyone. And be well.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.